Okay, here we go, everyone. Build that energy. Reverend James, hit the music.
Welcome to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, exploring the magical world around us only on the LMC Radio Network. Have you ever wondered? From temples located on windswept mountain terraces to ancient monolithic structures built in unexpected locations whose patronage has long since been lost to history, the stories of the spiritual earth resound with amazing tales still untold. There are so many fantastic, exciting, and curious things that make up this world we share. Come join us as we explore the spiritual, magical, and wondrous phenomenon that enrich our souls and bring color to our days. I'm your announcer, Reverend James of FolkConjure.com, located in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. This week, we welcome our special guest, Deborah Voith of the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers and BewitchingBee.com in Wisconsin, bringing us today's topic, Healing with Soul Retrieval. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina, and our guest, Deborah Voith. Make sure you're logged in to Blog Talk Radio and join in on the discussion via the chat. Now let's catch up with our host. Reverend Art, take it away.
Thank you once again, Reverend James, and welcome everyone to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. You know, it's been a very exciting week here at the Mystics and Mages team, as well as at Folk Conjure and Folk Faith Ministries. You know, we're really ramping up and we'll be launching a lot of new programs, projects, and so on and so forth. So it's kind of, it's been a very, very busy time for all of us. How about you, Reverend James? How are things going with you?
Things are going well, just trying to stay dry. We've had a lot of rain and storms here lately, and it's been rather chilly because it's storms coming from Canada. So it's a little chilly here and just trying to stay warm.
Yeah, reaching all the way from the frozen north. And speaking of the frozen north, we have with us this week, Deborah Voith. How are you doing, Deborah?
Here I am, frozen north, that's for sure. But thank you for having me on. Things are going pretty well. I've been a little under the weather the last couple of days and just found out that I am sick with COVID.
Oh no.
And I felt I can certainly still talk. I feel a little spacey, so if I get off topic, just reel me back in. I was a little disappointed here in Milwaukee. I had to cancel being on a live in-person show this Wednesday called Witchy Wednesdays, which is done at the local shop, Altered State of Mind, with Crystal Stegman. I'm putting a little plug here, Laura L. and Mahika. And we were going to talk about all things having to do with prosperity. And I was also going to be on there with my sister, Sharon, Sharon Blandino. So,
that is a fantastic topic.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, with the kind of a recession type things that are going on lately, that a lot of people might be interested in that too.
Oh, and, definitely. And, you know, with the way things are right now, it's so, you know, that prosperity work, the, you know, building the abundance and all of those, mm-hmm. those sorts of avenues are really being explored by so many individuals. We see it every day on the Lucky Mojo forum. You know, we talk about it with clients on the daily, and hopefully they'll hold your spot for you and they can circle back around and get back into the abundance
right.
and prosperity work with you.
Yeah. I just had to pull back because that's an in-person thing. And so that was definitely a no-go, but I'm so happy to be here tonight.
Well, we are happy to have you. And, you know, I have caught a couple of the episodes that you've done with Altered State of Mind, and it really is a fantastic program.
Oh.
So, you know, take a look, you know, for the listeners, just to let them know, you know, go check it out on, I know you share it on your Facebook page, Deborah Voith.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Altered State of Mind, and that's in Milwaukee.
And I believe it's through Mahika. It's M-A-J-I-C-A. Is the person that that puts it together and films. And then Laura L. and Crystal are the two people that talk to whoever comes on that week. And they're doing a really, really nice job. A lot of rituals and different topics and stuff like that. So that's fun.
And it, honestly, in watching these shows, it looks like you're always having a great time. So, you know, hopefully, you know, the COVID bugs won't keep you down too long and you'll be back in the swing of it before you know it.
Thanks. Yeah, and most of the work that I've been doing lately is remote work with clients, burning candles and doing, you know, phone divinations and readings over the phone. And recently I was talking to someone who was referred for seeking more like in-person, so you can tell my nursing background leaks through, but in-person energy work, but I have to put that off for a bit. So not this week, maybe next week we'll start going back into doing that. So, yeah, I did something recently that I have never done before in my life. And I kept hearing people talking about doing vision boards of all things. And I have never done one. And I had a couple of friends that were doing like a vision board for 2023. And so, so that's something that I did a couple of days before I got sick. I got together with a couple friends and we were swilling coffee and tea and talking about different things and putting our little vision boards together. And I made copies of all these little mini tarot cards that I had. And so I was able to put different tarot cards for the different areas of my board. And one of my themes was working with the physical, another one was with the spiritual, and then the mental and emotional. So on the physical side of the board, I put the Empress in Temperance and the Nine of Pentacles. And so my goals with that is just like for balancing out life with exercise and healthy diet and looking forward definitely up here to nicer weather so I can go outside walking, and also downsizing stuff in my house because I've got just too much stuff that I've accumulated, and I've got four adult children who have left plenty of stuff here too. So I am just very much making runs to the Goodwill frequently to drop off different things.
That's
then,
awesome.
And then for the spiritual, I put the star card, and it just, you know, made a statement with, I for 2023 will be in perfect balance with work and play, fitness and diet, and with the spiritual and the mundane. And so, of course, I won't be in perfect balance, but I will strive for progress and try to reach for perfection, even though I won't ever reach it.
You know, it's a valid goal to have, and you know, that's really a wonderful way to use the tarot in building these vision boards. You know, a lot of people, yeah. I've been hearing more and more. I haven't done one personally. I think I might be inspired now to go about it and really, you know, dig in. But, you know, a lot of people have been building these and seeing a lot of success in, mm-hmm. It really provides kind of like that framework for, you know, how you're going to schedule your days and really mm-hmm. to focus on yourself and building the self and self-love. It really is a wonderful
yeah.
tool.
Well,
that we can
yeah.
all have in our toolboxes.
Yeah. I mean, lots of time I will make like a kind of like a wish list or whatever for the year. And usually I do that like back in January. And last year, one of my wish list things was to challenge myself to connect with other people that do the kind of work that I do, and also to do more I guess in a way like public speaking in a way, or getting out there a little bit more, because I felt like, especially over COVID, that I had just kind of withdrawn into this little shell. And
as you do,
I was really wanting to spread out. And that's why I was so grateful to join up with AIR and also get onto Hoodoo Psychics.
You know, joining AIR
it's
really
a wonderful
is,
networking. You know,
it has been, and you know, that's
mm-hmm.
you know, for both, you know, that's how you and I met, and I am very grateful to AIR and for that opportunity, because getting to know you has really been just very heartwarming. You're so much fun to talk
Aww.
To, and I enjoy every interaction that we have, and really look forward to having more interactions in the future. And
thanks,
you know, I know
I enjoy talking to you too. You are a very warm person. I can tell just from, you know, even though we've never met in person, just the times that I have talked. Yeah, it's just, you know, I just get a wonderful feeling talking to you. Very welcoming.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you. And, you know, that's one thing we will both be participating in, you know, talking about, you know, more public speaking and getting out there is the upcoming Hoodoo Heritage Festival.
Yes, that is so exciting. That is,
and coming up faster than we ever imagined. It feels
right?
like it's moving at light speed and coming right for me.
And
I know you're joining the panel this year, correct?
Yes.
On June 10th and 11th.
Favorite love spell panel.
this is going to be
June 10th and 11th.
A fantastic panel.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
we
I'm
have,
excited about
and,
it.
Well, I know you're joined by several other really outstanding members of AIR, you know, Conjure Man and Nikki Evans, JD, who
yeah.
was our guest a couple weeks ago.
Oh, right. Haunted Detroit.
lots of Northern. But it's
right.
in the topics, our favorite love spells, and that's who doesn't need a good love spell now and again, right?
Right. Yes. absolutely. I mean, there are so many different love spells, but I think that anybody that comes to the Hoodoo Heritage Festival will find some new things that they haven't heard before. There's, yeah.
Oh, definitely. That's
lots
a
of
guarantee.
Experience there.
You know, the 10 workshops, we've been working behind the scenes, really, you know, putting things together and everything. And it's shaping up to be a phenomenal year. There's, what, 3 new books that are going to debut at the festival, too.
Oh, my.
And just so much information in that goodie box that comes when you get your ticket early.
Jesus, worth it just for the books and the goodie boxes.
Right? I know
so
Miss Kat's writing a book, and we have books from Reverend John St. Germain, Miss Michael. So, you know, we're joined by some really wonderful people. I'm hoping to see another, you know, just really knock it out of the park year. Last year was great. We're really working to make this one better and bigger.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's go back a little bit, because I know in getting to know you, you've been following a spiritual path for quite some time. And, you know, a lot of people really, you know, a lot of people struggle. I've talked about this with Miss Beth and with JD. A lot of people struggle about, you know, how do I find my path? What, you know, what signs am I being given? You know, all of these sorts of things. And, you know, can you share with us what really brought you to, you know, your spiritual path? What was your inspiration?
You know, there were so many things that inspired me along the way. You know, starting from when I was a kid, my grandmother from Missouri, she was into spiritualism a bit, and I can remember doing the table raising with her when I was just a little kid. And my other grandma, my Polish Busha, she had a spirit board. And that was one, I think that had to be the first spirit board I ever saw. And so I was always very interested in the realm of spirit and hearing about other people's stories. I had a lot of different spirit type experiences when I was a kid. Now don't think bad of my mom, but when I was a little kid, I used to, and I was the third daughter, I used to see ghosts or whoever showing up in my room at night, and I would wake up the whole house. I would get out of there, and after a while, my mom, being a very practical person, thought, oh, enough of this. And so she put like a little latch lock on my bedroom door, and I couldn't get out. And so I had to just learn to deal with it. And so, you know, that wasn't too much fun at the time. But I can always remember different family members talking about encountering different spirits. There was always somebody at the foot of somebody's bed. I can remember sitting in the kitchen and listening to my mom and sitting there drinking coffee and talking to different family members about different experiences that they had like that. So I was always kind of interested in that. And I believe like when I was in college in the late 70s, early 80s, in nursing school, I met a couple of women that were into witchcraft, a very feminine form of witchcraft, and that got me really interested in that whole thing. I mean, I just I was so intrigued because I was raised Catholic, and I mean, I don't think I was I think I was still in grade school when I started getting really upset with the priests who were telling me that my friends that weren't Catholic were going to end up going to limbo or hell or whatever. And I just thought, you know, I don't want anything to do with that. That, you know, and so for a while I really struggled with what I believed in. And, yeah, and so when I heard different forms of women's spirituality and different forms of witchcraft, I was drawn to that. And I also, you know, worked as a nurse for RN for 30 years. And I worked for 25 years as a triage nurse at the Psychiatric Crisis Service, which was kind of a unique area. It was a centralized, like a psychiatric emergency room where Milwaukee County and a couple of other counties surrounding it, like that's where the police and the sheriff's department would bring people that were what they called chapters. Like they were on a legal hold, so they had to be evaluated. And so so I back around 2006, I opened up a brick and mortar metaphysical shop. And that's when I kind of took more of a deep dive into working with healing energy. And it was around then I heard about Lucky Mojo, and I took Kat's course. I think I graduated.
The Huda Root Work Correspondence course.
Yes. Yeah, that was like, that was one of the most, that was one of the best courses I've ever taken.
I agree wholeheartedly.
And, yeah. and my sister went through the course with me. And so me and her have always talked a lot about different aspects of it and kind of worked on different things together and apart, you know, over the years. And also I went and studied with the Reiki teacher, Arlene Rowden, out of Madison. She's wonderful, too. And it was right around back then, I think it was 2007 or 2008, that I graduated with, you know, for my master teacher in Yasui Reiki. But, yeah, so some of the practices that I do were taught to me, and then some of the practices that I do were kind of intuitive or kind of like following spirit guides, especially with energy work. And so, you know, and during the time I had the shop, I did cross paths with a lot of people, a lot of clients that were experiencing like extremes in imbalance. And so some of them were just really unbalanced, but some of them had either an attachment or on the opposite end, they had like an energetic deficient part of themselves where that, you know, where I came to realize that a lot of times it was a soul loss or like a splintering of the soul due to a past trauma. And that's, you know, lots of times the things that I've learned, usually I've been very experiential in learning things. It's like if a need comes up for me to know something, it's like I dive right into it. And so that's kind of how I've been with a lot of the stuff that I do.
It sounds like, I mean, just a very enriched and empowered career of healing and understanding is what I'm feeling. You know, just, I mean, from what we can call, I suppose, like the mundane, you know, reaching out as a nurse and working with the traumas and the crises that come with that. If I remember correctly, you were in triage, and that's the front line. It doesn't get. That's the make it or break it step in a lot of cases, and you know it's interesting to me how all of this has come together from more or less growing up in, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it, a haunted house. and really, you know, it's the progression throughout the years. You know, it's really intriguing to me just how everybody gets to coming to spirit. And you talked about things like table tipping, which is one thing Reverend James and I, we really enjoy having those table tipping sessions and seance sessions. And it's always wonderful to watch people's faces go, what is going on here?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I have a feeling that if the three of us were sitting together, that would be a very, very active session.
Right. Oh, I think so. Yeah, I think so.
So, you know,
yeah,
I guess
that's kind of
does
how
follow
I...
a... Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, so that's pretty much like how I started in... I do soul retrievals. I also do past life healings and spirit release if there's an attachment. And all of those things ended up being an extension of the healing work that I was doing.
Right, right.
So it's like every time I would have people coming to me where there was a need for something like that, then I started like gathering all the information that I could possibly and just, you know, right away just doing whatever I could to help. And that was a really, I mean, in that way, I really did find out fairly quick, like what worked, what didn't work, and was able to go from there.
You know, and really combining the healing services and the soul retrieval, the past life regressions and the past life healing, you know, when you combine that with root work and conjure, that is one heck of a powerful 1-2 punch for countless conditions and situations.
Oh my goodness. Yes. I mean, that's one of the number one things that I end up prescribing, to energy clients is, cleansing baths. You know, I'll make up little packets or whatever for them. And I know that Lucky Mojo has some wonderful cleansing baths, uncrossing, and those that are along
that. A lot of people
that's also a good one.
Yes, very much so. You know, a lot of people kind of seem, you know, in interacting with clients and, you know, teaching classes and stuff, it really seems in some cases that people kind of put the whole spiritual bath option like on the back burner. It's in a lot of cases, at least in my experience, it feels almost like it's an afterthought or optional, but it can be one hell of an addition to whatever situation or condition that you're working on. Is, you know, these aren't like a once and done thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
whether
you're doing a 9-day bath or, you know, even, you know, for somebody like yourself, you worked for so many years with people in trauma, you know, it would benefit anyone in that kind of a position to do something like that on the regular. Whether it's, you know, weekly, monthly, you know, make it part of the self-care regimen. Is there a particular bath that you prescribe more often than not?
Well, I do listen to the Lucky Mojo show a lot. And just, I love, like, I think it's Conjure Man that always prescribes either, like, a Van bath crystals or... I believe he says agrimony. What else did he say? Agrimony, hyssop, and rue, I believe. And with some kosher salt. You know, I think that some of them can be kind of simple. But there's such a variety of them, of the baths. And I think that before, I mean, sometimes I can't prescribe a bath like before the work because I'm just getting to that person. But always at the end of a session, I'll recommend, you know, different cleansing baths for the person.
Right.
Yeah.
So what would you say, is your favorite kind of spells to work on? What would you, where do you feel your niche is?
Huh. Well, I end up doing a lot of uncrossing and also protection work. I do a fair amount of love spells, especially reconciliation, and a little bit of prosperity. In fact, I'm just looking at my altar here. There are a couple prosperity candles burning right now. I don't know. It feels like, some newer clients, but then there's like the clients I've had for a long time. And so I kind of know them and have a good idea a lot of times, like what works best for them. And so, the other thing is it seems a lot like different types of work will kind of come in spurts where I'll end up doing like a lot of uncrossing for a while. Or a lot of reconciliation work. And so, it just depends on when. I mean, at any different time, you could ask, and I'm probably, getting, like, a bunch of one certain type of work as I go along.
Yeah, I know for us, it's that turn of the new year season, a lot of uncrossing, mm-hmm. a lot of prosperity work and things. It is seasonal. As different events, holidays, what have you, are coming into people's minds, you do see this like seasonal progression throughout the year. It definitely helps for when we're stocking up on supplies. That's for sure.
How about you, Art? Have you had any certain type of work that you've been doing more of lately?
Honestly, for us, we have several different angles that have been popping up a lot more frequently. Definitely a lot more money drawing, prosperity, abundance. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's the oncoming of the tax season and people having money on the mind, the concerns about the recession and things of that nature that are, when you're used to going to the grocery store and filling a cart for $100, and now you go for $100 and you walk out with, a six pack of soda and a Thanksgiving turkey or something. Money's on people's minds, and that's been, it's been one of the main things. We do see a fair amount of love work.
Mm-hmm.
And those are probably the two main ones for us right now. But 'tis the season. We just passed Valentine's Day. Folks still have that on their minds. And, and that's what we're all here for, really. And as members of AIR, coming together, helping our clients, and trying to make it a better world for everybody.
There's there's a lot of power in a lot of very simple bell work, and just, I end up actually lately, I feel like I've been kind of like more like coaching in a way, and just helping people figure out how to work with certain things, whether it's, love reconciliation has been a lot lately. And so that, number one is like cleansing, and be sure you get that DNA. I'll have a lot of Yeah, I'll have clients sometimes that will be like, oh, you know, I've got, you know, like this long list of all these different herbs and other goodies, you know, and it's like, you know, but the most important thing, I'll be like, you know, that's going to trump all of the other ingredients on your list. Be sure you get that. Find a way. And so, yeah.
And if you're determined enough, we will always, always find a way.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
You know, before we really jump into the topic during the second segment of the show for the soul retrieval, so I wanted to touch base. You're also an author.
Yes. Yes, I've I wrote a couple books. The first book I wrote was kind of a smaller basic book. It's actually been the best seller out of the ones that I've written, and it's just a basic guide to spirit communication. I really, really one of my favorite mediums is Martin Twycross, and he always talks, and I know I can't remember the name of where this originally came from, but he always talks about sitting in the power and using that to build up kind of like your well of spirit, so that in that way when you do mediumship, first you sit in the power of your own spirit, and then you sit in the power, you expand your aura and sit in the power of spirit. And in that way, you give spirit time to get to know you and to know, like, how best to communicate with you. I love the way he talks about it, because it'll be like, you have to shift your focus. It's kind of like magic eye, where you look at something and it doesn't make any sense. It's all, you know, distorted. But then when you turn and you look a certain way, you can see a face or you can see whatever it is in there. And so it's a matter of shifting your focus. And then
the transfiguration.
Yeah, and then, you know, letting spirit get to know you, because we don't all communicate with spirit in the same way. Right? Some of us are more visual. Some of us are more clairaudient. And so, you know, or clairsentient. Or that clair, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but clair knowing, where you just automatically know. And so, so it's like giving time to spirit so that spirit, because he would joke, like, you know, you would be giving time to spirit because, you know, you could just see, imagine the spirits talking to each other and be like, uh-oh, here comes Debbie. You better talk fast because she's not able to stay in the power very long. So hurry up and tell her whatever it is that she needs to communicate. Or, you know, or maybe Fred's coming in. He's very visual. So send him pictures. Don't talk to him. just send him images. And so, yeah.
A lot of people do get frustrated with this, too, in trying to develop their individual mediumship. You know, they don't understand that they'll read a book and it says, you know, do this, 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 and this. But you do have to make it your own. You have to find your language that you can use to talk
absolutely.
With spirit.
Yeah.
You know, you have to, in some cases, redefine symbols, redefine colors. You know, all of these things come together. And, you know, this is something, you know, we kind of chatted about this previously, but it's that's wonderful that you have, you know, a kind of a primer out there for anybody who is interested in pursuing their own mediumship, because it is something that can be developed. It just, it takes patience and focus.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Then the second book I wrote, I called it The Real Book of Shadows, Psychic Cords, Dreamwalking, Shadow Work, Soul Retrieval, and Past Life Healing. And you know what? I got to tell you, just telling on myself, I'm looking like at my titles and I'm thinking, oh my God, can't you come up with a short title, Debbie? It's like, they're all like very long. And it's like, I wanted to, you know, get the most in there to say what's in there so that people know, you know, and it's just like, eh, those,
right.
Actually, those titles are a little bit long. And then the third book was also, it's like a series of spirit work type of information. And so in the third book, it's called Illuminated Veil, The Seeker's Guide to Communicating and Working with Spirit. And so that covers more things about like getting rid of attachments or doing like spirit rescues. Although a lot of spirits don't need rescuing, but sometimes they do once in a great while. And what I liked about the last book that I wrote on that is I tried to put a lot of different experiences in there rather than just having it be a how-to book. And I have a lot of people that I talk to that share their experiences. And so I was able to put in a lot of different people's experiences to kind of highlight the things that I was trying to talk about. So I like this last book a little bit more, even though it does not sell as well as the first book. But that might be a price point.
I have a feeling. I have a feeling that for anyone that picks up one of your books, and I know I've seen them on Amazon, I've seen them on Goodreads, and I'm sure everyone is going to get more than their money's worth when they pick one of your books up.
Aw, thanks. And I have one last book. I wrote a book with my sister Sharon Blandino called Witch's Brew. And it just has like different rituals and spells and incantations and all different witchy things in there. Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Fun.
You know, and it was a family effort, which I love. You don't really stumble across that.
Yeah.
Very much.
Yeah.
You know, when you're scanning the authors as you're standing in the bookstore, you know. So it definitely adds a little bit more heart to the overall topic.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Well, I think it is going to be, we're getting about that time. It's time for a message from our sponsors. And I'm going to turn this over to Reverend James, and we'll be back momentarily with Spirit Retrieval.
Excellent.
Thank you, Reverend Art. Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted root worker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Back to you, Reverend Art.
Thank you, Reverend James. So
oh,
now
you have such
we,
a
and I,
great voice, Reverend James. Sorry.
Oh, I think he may be blushing right now. But,
yes,
so I know I misspoke right before
voice.
The break here. He does. He does very well with what he does. Fantastic reader, root worker, husband, announcer.
Yeah.
Computer programmer. So many hats.
That's fantastic. He's talented, man. You know, I always wished that I could project my voice more because I feel like I have this little weak voice. I remember when I had some old books that I was auctioning off years ago at the shop, and there was a huge group there, and I was like, I didn't have a microphone, and so I'm trying to push my voice out there, and was like, oh my God, nobody can even hear me. So there was a guy there who had a really good, voice that kind of just went right out there. And so I'm like, hey, can you do this? Can you help me with this? And so he stepped in and he started, you know, hawking the books for me.
Hawking your wares.
Yes.
So let's talk about soul retrieval. What's the process behind this? Like, what's the basis behind needing to have a soul retrieval done?
Like, what exactly is that? Okay, it's the process of recovering a lost or missing piece of an individual's soul, which has been had been splintered off, and it's usually due to a traumatic event. And then bringing the missing piece back to reunite with the rest of the soul as a way to heal and make it whole again. Some referred to as soul loss. The psychological term dissociation might be used to describe it. A lot of ancient cultures believe that the loss of one's soul or losing a part of it caused illness to manifest. And so I am not a shaman, but I am a healer. And I know that I've been told that ancient shamans were thought to journey to the place where the soul fragmented and then bring that missing piece back to the ill person so that they could heal and become whole again. And so depending on the culture and the beliefs, the shaman's journey might have taken them to the astral world, the underworld, or to the past, or even to a different dimension. And so once there, the shaman would do whatever it could to bring it back. They might talk it into coming back, sing it into coming back, trick it into coming back, or even trap it and drag it back. And so I just...
Wow.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm very much intrigued. One quick question I do have is...
Yeah.
It's not necessarily... It doesn't have to be, from my understanding, like an intense trauma that could even mm-hmm. cause this. It's really based off of the individual. Am I right? That you know, something that could be traumatic for me might not be traumatic for you, and vice versa. So, you know, there's really, I have a feeling there's a lot that goes into, you know, I guess kind of trying to diagnose this situation.
And that's I have oftentimes have had people come to me and they're wanting the soul retrieval, but sometimes they're kind of confused. They're not sure if they should get like a soul retrieval or a past life healing. And so basically the thing that would most determine a soul retrieval is having the trauma happen during this lifetime. And so some of the different traumas could be, divorce, the death of a loved one, experiencing childhood abuse, or any abuse as an adult, especially if it's from someone you had formerly trusted, being betrayed by someone, physical trauma, even like surgery or being in a car accident, being the victim of a physical assault.
That one's actually kind of interesting that you mentioned too.
Which
the surgery, because that's that in a lot of cases. I mean, some surgery is elective, and we go into it, you know, full on knowing, you know, we have our medical team and everything, and we're marching into it. But on a spiritual level, it's still traumatic. It's traumatic to the body. It's traumatic to, you know, the our essence. That's really intriguing.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I can relate to that. I don't think that happened, but I think if anything was going to happen, this would have been a situation where it would have, is I went for cataract surgery last year. And the second time I went, it wasn't too bad. But the first time I went, it was horrible because I thought they were going to medicate me and have me so that I would be real calm and not, you know, anxious. Or it, but really, they said they gave me some medication, but it sure didn't seem like it. And so when I went back for the second eye surgery, I asked my primary doctor to give me a prescription for 2 Valium. I said, I want those 2 Valium so that I can take them before I go in there, because they, and that made a huge difference. I don't know what they were doing with that first one. I bitched about it, like, in the recovery room. I bitched about it when I went back for my follow-up appointments. I bitched about it to everybody that would listen, because that was, to me, that was like one of the most friggin' traumatic things I've ever had happen, is that I don't like anyone touching my eye anyway. But then just not to have some kind of sedative or something, yeah, that, so I can get it. I mean, I can totally understand if someone would feel like they lost a piece of themselves in a surgical procedure. And sometimes, I don't think it's a real common one, but I think it's enough, you know, and I'm a recovering alcoholic and drug addict, and so, and I know a lot of recovering people. I've been recovering for many years now, since 1985, but it's, and I've worked with, I've worked with a lot of people, just in nursing and being a sponsor and stuff like that, who are, you know, going through the recovery process and struggling with that. And I can remember some of the weirdest shit when I was younger, when I first got clean and sober. I would have, for the first couple of weeks, I had the most awful nightmares. I had these night terrors, and then I couldn't sleep, and it was just, it was horrible. It was some horrible shit. And what my other sister said to me, both of my sisters are nurses as well, is she said, well, Debbie, don't you notice that in, when you're working in alcohol and drug, that a lot of the people can't sleep very good? They're, a lot of them have nightmares. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And she said she thought that when you took away the alcohol and drugs after having it there for so many years, that you almost like kind of take down a wall. And especially if it's a sensitive person, it's like you're letting all kinds of shit in. And so anyway, alcohol or drug addiction is one of the things that can cause soul loss. Also surviving a catastrophic event. People have been in the military. I do know a couple of folks that have gone through that and have sought, like, soul retrieval. Or even
that's an excellent use case right there too, the military and in dealing with PTSD. And, you know, when you think about just how prevalent addiction and that sort of thing is really in the world right now, not just, you know, the United States, but elsewhere.
Yes.
You know, that there's where people are seeking an escape, but they're doing themselves, in my understanding, even more harm, which, you know, in pushing the spirit away, you know, severing ties with parts of who they are fundamentally. So what would you say are some symptoms of someone that would need to go through a soul retrieval?
Some of the symptoms would be like, I'll tell you, chronic sleep disorders, sleeping too much or sleeping too little, or having a lot of bad dreams, wakefulness, feelings, chronic feelings of sadness and depression. And then you mentioned, something is, PTSD, that post-traumatic stress disorder is definitely, one of the symptoms. Kind of like what I've heard, because the couple soldiers that I've talked to have had where things will replay in their mind, and they'll replay like on slow-mo, and it's like every single little thing that happened, it's re-experienced again. And I think that's definitely a sign. Other things are like feeling empty. I've heard, I can't tell you how many people, recovering people I've heard say that they feel like they have a hole inside of them. And that's a classic saying, that they feel empty or feel numb. Sometimes they might complain about feeling or not feeling, like having frozen feelings. Feeling stuck, not being able to move forward in life.
Interesting.
But then there's also things like immune deficiency disorders can sometimes be a symptom, especially if someone has like a chronic. I had a friend, and she just passed away a while ago, but she was like one of my best friends, and she, there was this movie about this little girl that was the daughter of this funeral caretaker. I think it was Dan Aykroyd. And her...
Is this my girl?
Friend, her best... Yes, yes. And she would always run to the doctor saying that she had this symptom or that symptom or whatever. And the doctor would, you know, take her, listen to her heart or whatever and say, you know, you're okay. Okay, so I used to, I can't think of the little girl's name in the movie, but I always used to call my friend by her name because she had chronic complaints of pain, chronic complaints of feeling sick, and she was also an addict. And she would get better for a while, and then she'd go back, and I can remember talking to her about some of these things and trying to encourage her to try some of this stuff, and she was like, no. But I really wish that she would have, because I believe with all my heart that that would have helped her. Anyway, there's other things like
I do know the movie you're talking about.
Huh?
I was just going to say, I do remember the movie that you're speaking of. It's My Girl, and I remember the actress's name, but I can't remember... the character's name. It was Anna Chlumsky, and Macaulay Culkin were in it.
I think
you're right.
That's
and
one.
I bawled at that movie. I will not lie.
Yeah.
I bawled. It was a great movie.
Yeah, it is. It's a tearjerker. And the people in it just do so well acting out the story. Yeah, it's a good one.
You know, it's really kind of poignant to me with, I guess, you know, we'll just say the state of the world as we know it, not to quote music lyrics or anything. But, you know, some of the things that you've brought up with, you know, the being bullied and the addiction and all of these situations that are seemingly out of control in so many corners of our neighborhoods, our communities, our country, you know. And then you think about the proliferation of big pharma. You know, I'm not one to get going on like a conspiracy theory of it or anything like that, but really, you know, there's so much going on, and there people are turning to 100%, you know, medicated away. When adding the spirit, you know, paying attention to the spiritual side in conjunction with the medical side can make all the difference and actually bring about recovery. Not just not strictly remission, or not putting a Band-Aid on it and hoping it goes away.
Absolutely.
How does the process, like, now you did say the soul retrieval is for this current life. It's something you know, in the present. This isn't for past life healing. That would fall under a past life regression. And that's a completely separate function, correct?
Right. Yes. Yeah. The past life is different. Well, the way that I do, the way that I perform soul retrievals, is I don't use any mind altering substances, and I don't use any drumming, although I'll often use like kind of a meditative, like ambient sounds in the background, especially if I'm working at altered state of mind, because sometimes there'll be noises out in the hallway and stuff like that. So just to get the person into a very relaxed, very alpha state. I perform a ritual. I pull up a circle. I call in the elements. And I use visionary magic, where you go to the inner realms, what some people might call the astral plane or the underworld, or the tree of life, or any other map of reference to the non-physical realms. I know that whatever energy is worked with in the non-physical realms, it will also affect or resonate in the physical realm and vice versa. And so what I do is I get the person very relaxed, and I take them into what called the void. The void is basically the spark of divinity that's within all of us. Okay. It's also in all of the elements. And so it's very simple to get there. I mean, you can, if you use an element, you can use a candle flame or a crystal or whatever, and you would gaze upon that and get yourself very relaxed and then sense the, kind of like the energy pathways, like the father above and the mother in the ground below your feet, the future generations in front of you and the past generations in back of you. And you would just tune into, I like to use the either an element, or usually what I do with people is I have them use the energy of their solar chakra. And I talk them through it, and I have the energy build within that core of their soul. And then I have them do this breathing where every time they breathe out, they sense their aura expanding. Kind of like they're blowing up a balloon. So in and out, focus on their breathing. And as they expand, that energy fills the room. And so then what I have them see is in their mind's eye is this energy starts to swirl. And it kind of goes into the shape of a vortex. Then I have the person, see themselves standing up and walking into the vortex. And as they take a couple of steps into it, they'll feel kind of a pull, and then they quickly will exit out on the other side. And so that's going into the void. And so once they get to the void, and it depends, everybody has a little bit of a different map or whatever, but what I have them do is have them walk along. There's different ways to do it, but I have them walk along until they come to a pool of water, and there'll be the water will reflect everything that is above it. And I'll have the person walk out onto the water and then sink down into the pool of memories. And then once there, I'll talk them through going into an area where they can look. I'll tell you, with a soul retrieval, it is dealing with something in this life. So before you even start, they have to have they have to sense or know where that trauma happened so they can go back to that specific one. And once they go there, usually I have them look through a window and they'll see that soul fragment. And the soul fragment usually appears as the person did at that age that the trauma happened. And so if they were a child, the soul fragment would look like their child self. Or if they were a young adult, they would look how they did back at that time. And so, what's really important...
So just sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to clarify a little bit. So in identifying this trauma, because, you know, mm-hmm. you hear about repressed memories and so on and so forth. So this is somewhere mm-hmm. where, say, like shadow work comes into play or possibly mm-hmm. having a reading done and really kind of drilling into to figuring that out before we even start this process.
Sometimes, usually, I have found that most people know exactly when they're soul fragmented. You know, I usually, before we even start, I will cleanse, you know, get the circle going and open up a portal and talk to them and do Reiki on them for a bit and talk to them about, you know, setting their intention, you know, what was... I have them set their intention to access the memory of when their soul fragmented. And so if they're soul fragmented when their friend died, I have them go back to that memory. And you can really only, some people might need more than one soul retrieval, but you can really only go and retrieve one part of yourself at a time. And so I've had some clients that'll do a couple of different soul retrievals. And then I kind of recommend that they space them out like a couple of months apart, because your whole energetic body kind of goes through a cycle afterwards where it's reincorporating that lost part of yourself again. And so it wouldn't be good, I think, do them all, you know, do it real close together.
That definitely makes a lot of sense, because, I mean, it's almost like being reintroduced to yourself by the sounds of it, that when bringing these disparate parts back together, walking out the other side, you're not who you were when you went in.
I've had some people have like just amazing reactions as they come back, because as you come back, that is when you're going through the whole process of coming back, and that's when the soul fragment merges with you. And so then once you are back, lots of times some people are very, very animated and very clear about everything, and some people are a little fuzzier, and I think that's because I always say it's kind of like you're in that state, like that dream state sort of, and you know how if you don't write a dream down right away, you'll forget it later on. And so if someone is, especially if they're feeling like that, I'll tell them, you know, I'll give them paper and pencil, I'll say, you know, write down, you know, everything you can think of that you experienced, and because you might not be able to grasp it or remember all of it later on. Usually before we even get started, we sit and talk and determine like what is going on.
Is this something that can be done? Is this predominantly something that you would only perform in person, or is this something that you can do, you know, over a Zoom call or over the phone?
I've had people ask me that. I suppose it maybe over Zoom. I think I would feel more. I would feel a little better about that. But all the ones that I've done so far have been in person. I have a couple people that have asked me to do it remotely. And I think that the experience really, I don't know. I just feel like, to me, it's like cleansing a house. I can do it remotely, but I would rather.
It does feel like there's a lot of moving parts.
That makes
parts
sense.
And it you know, to have that ability to be there and mm-hmm. observe. I can see where possibly, maybe, potentially doing it over like a Zoom call, Skype call, whatever. But I can definitely see where the phone mm-hmm. probably just won't cut it in this situation.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I mean, I've personally
that,
experienced. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
Oh, I was just going to say, I've personally experienced a past life regression.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the intensity experience had for me. I've actually done that
mm-hmm.
twice. I've not experienced the soul retrieval.
Okay.
It's something that I don't find commonly being offered. Is that kind
mm-hmm.
of your take on it? I mean, it's not something that
yes.
I see in many places at all, honestly.
No, I don't either. I see it pop up once in a while. Once in a great while on Facebook or something, but I around here I don't really know anybody else that does it except my sister. my sister Sharon,
you know,
does.
There's
it.
Actually an interesting question in the chat for us. Are
mm-hmm.
there ever any splinters that can't be recovered?
You know, I would think that anything's possible. What I've experienced in doing them is that I'm actually pretty happy with everybody that I have done them with has had really good results. But I think anything is possible. And I'll tell you what another thing I do before we start is I will always tell the person that if at any point that they feel uncomfortable and they feel like they can't go through with it, that's okay. They can come back. You know, I'll bring you right back, you know, and we can either
right.
try again some other time or, you know, talk it through and see like what's the best action to take after that. But I actually, and although I've told people that, I have not had anybody who wasn't able to go through with it, but I could see where if someone, and I've had people with some huge traumas. The other thing I get that I guess I caution people about is that many people have multiple traumas. And I would say that, if this makes sense, that some traumas, I think that all of us have some traumas. And I've gone through the process of soul retrieval for myself for two different things. And it really helped a lot. But not everybody needs to go through a soul retrieval because we all respond differently. Like some folks might have, you know, the death of a parent or some other kind of trauma and perhaps a little bit of them did split off, but it's not enough to where they feel like where they feel they have to recover it. But then there's other people that have other, you know, significant traumas that happen and they can feel that. They can feel that loss. And so they need, you know, they would receive a lot of healing, I think, from going through that process then. Everybody's a little different.
So in large part, you would say that you haven't come across it yet where something couldn't be retrieved.
Yeah, I have not.
That's valid. That is completely valid.
Mm-hmm.
And an interesting kind of a question to have posed. Another question that was asked in the chat is
mm-hmm.
if it would ever be valuable to have twin flames or souls that are intertwined do a soul retrieval together? feel individualistic.
Yeah, I don't. I wouldn't do that. It just, to me, it a twin flame is a different thing from a past trauma in life. So I don't. I'm not sure I understand that. Unless, and even if it was two people who went through the same trauma, I would really recommend that they do it. You know what? I'm going to take that back already. There have been two different occasions where I have done two people at the same time, but they were two sisters, and then the other time it was a mother and a daughter. And, and I just took them through the process, and I wasn't sure if it was going to work, and I told them that. But it actually, it did go okay for both of them. So,
That's awesome.
Yeah, like I said, I'm very experiential, and so if something seems like it would work and that it would help the person, I will usually dive in and do it. But you know that the thing with the twin flame, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure how to connect that. Sorry.
No, that's perfectly fine, and again, very very valid. So over the course of your career, how many soul retrievals would you say you've performed? Did you keep count?
You know, I have not kept count, but I've been doing them since about 2006. I don't even know. Hundreds for sure, you know, maybe even more than that. Last week or the week before, we did three in one night. So it depends. Like I'll go and be available for readings. But then I'll also be available for soul retrievals or past life journeying. And so, it depends. I've got other people that feel that they have an attachment. And so that I assess. I like to talk to the person, assess them first to see if that's what's going on. Sometimes it's easy to tell, and sometimes it's not. So then I'll have them come back, like set up a different time for that. But yeah, it just, I think I'm sure I've done hundreds and hundreds of them, possibly thousands of them. I'm not sure because I've never kept count of them, but I have done a fair amount of them.
It feels like the region surrounding Milwaukee, Wisconsin is definitely well served with you providing this service.
Thank you.
Can you speak? it's my pleasure, and I'm very much interested in learning more about soul retrieval. So could you talk a little bit about like the education process of working into having a service like this?
Sure. There's no place that I went to school to learn about soul retrieval. I think, like I said, what happened was back when I had my shop, and I was doing a lot of energy work, I had a number of people come in that were looking for that sort of a service. And so what I did is, I'll tell you one thing is that I think I was very at a strong affinity for it because I like working with visionary magic a lot. And so whenever I go journeying, what I'll always do is sink into the void, and then I don't even know how to say it. It's like you can access any spirit or any memory by going into the void. And so one book or a number of books, I would say, where that she talks a lot about the void. And I believe the map that she uses is the Tree of Life for the inner planes. And that's the occultist from the UK, Josephine McCarthy. She has a number of books out, and she has a course that she teaches called Quaria. And she named it Quaria because it's a new way of performing ritual or high magic, where she has quarried much of the information that she found the most useful over the years and incorporated into her practice. And so a lot of the journeying stuff, I think that I was very influenced by Josephine McCarthy. She's a wonderful author, and she's on podcasts and stuff sometimes. The other one that I really liked a lot, because it was so straightforward, is the Reiki master teacher, Steve Murray. And he wrote a number of Reiki books, and one of his books is called Reiki, the Ultimate Guide, Volume 4, Past Lives and Soul Retrieval. That's probably, it's a very, very simple, but very, I like it because he talks so directly about something that's very intangible and how to do it. And so I just started, you know, I just kind of jumped into doing things. I actually, me and my sister would practice on each other. I felt like I was in need of a soul retrieval in some past life work. And so we did work on each other. And I'm kind of lucky because I've always had her, who my sister Sharon, who's very much into the same practices I'm into. And so we've always been able to be sounding boards for each other and kind of teach each other along the way. But those two authors are my favorites for this type of stuff. Although Josephine McCarthy,
I can feel our library growing.
Josephine McCarthy does not talk about past life journeying or soul retrievals, but she opens up a whole new way of looking at how to access the inner realms. And the inner realms, she uses the entry point of the void. And once you get to the void, which is actually a very simple thing to do, you can go anywhere. You can find any spirit that you're trying to find. You can, you know, go just about anywhere. And it's laid out like the
tree
of life.
That almost feels a little, your description of the void, it almost feels a little like the Akashic Records, sort of a correlation. You know, being able to be able to reach out for infinite knowledge, mm-hmm. this is almost like the being able to go anywhere, you know, the mm-hmm. infinite places. It's
right.
Really, when you first said the void, I'll admit I was a little like, wow, that sounds a little ominous. But as you described
well,
it, I mean, it's something I want to experience because it just sounds so beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what she does is there, if there was an actual map to the astral realm, the void would be the gateway. It's like a central unifying place of connection. And the void is like a place of stillness and knowing through which that spark of divinity energy flows. And it's present in all living things, and it's present in all elements, and it's present in ourselves. And so the other thing that she talks about is just all the different she really talks about the landscape a lot, and she works a lot with the Sandalphon angels. She wrote a book on exorcism, which I think is probably the best book on exorcism ever. I really, really like that one, and I was influenced by that one a lot. But her whole thing is that she will – her process of exorcism is about like connecting to the void. And there's also like the tree of life, there's the death, or I don't know if I'm saying it right, the abyss. And the abyss is the flow of energy, divine energy, through which everything comes into manifestation. And so the guardians of the abyss are the Sandalphon. And the Sandalphon, if you go to them and communicate with them and tell them your intention to help others, they will help you, and they will cloak you within their energy. They're kind of like it was described kind of as a hive being. And so there's many different parts of the Sandalphon. So it's not any big deal. But one thing is that if you do that, it does take a toll on you. It takes a hit on your energy reserves. And if you do an exorcism while cloaked within the energy of the Sandalphon, you'll kind of feel like you got hit by a truck the next day. But it, you know, that's the way that you can actually take whatever it is that is there, whatever spirit or entity, and pull it out and actually take it back into the void and take it to where it came from. Because otherwise, if you do an exorcism, if you think about it, you're pulling that tea out, and then what are you doing with it then? And some people put it in a jar, they do this, do that, you know, or it just goes and roams somewhere else. So
my spirit guides are a little bit of a smart aleck, and all of a sudden in my head, I just heard the song Born Free.
we know
right. We definitely do not want to do that with anything of a negative nature.
Nothing nefarious.
No,
we're
coming up really quickly on the end of this, and I cannot believe that we've literally gone through an hour and a half. We've packed so much information into this show today. You know, we've talked through diagnosis of needing, you know, how to know if the need for the soul retrieval. We've walked through the process of it. We've given expectations about what goes on after the fact. You know, it's and tossed in a little bit of tidbits here and there about exorcism and past life regression. Dev, all I have to say is I cannot wait to have you back on the show again. This is only the beginning.
Well, thank you. It's been a joy to talk with you. I always like talking with you.
Well, definitely thank you for taking the time with us today. And actually, this is about all the time we have for tonight. So I hope everyone has enjoyed their time with us this evening. So until next time we all meet, keep the magic alive. And hey, Reverend James, take us out.
LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
Thank you, Reverend Art, and thank you, Deborah Voice of BewitchingBee.com in Wisconsin, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Healing Amulet Mindfulness Center will be Reverend Roy of HealingAmulet.com in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing working with energy for health and success. We've come to the end of the episode of Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, on the LMC Radio Network. You can find Reverend Art at folkconjure.com, on the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, on readersandrootworkers.com, and on Hoodoo Psychics, Thursdays and Fridays from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then Saturdays and Sundays from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from folkconjure.com in North Carolina. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via mysticsmages.com/radio show and on the Lucky Mojo Forum. From all of us at Mystics and Mages, I'd like to thank you for being here. Be sure to follow at Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places on Facebook and Mystics, Mages, Magical Places on Instagram for updates and news. We'll be back next week at the same time. Come sit a spell. Wink, wink. Relax and enjoy the show. We've only just begun. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you again, Deb. And good night, everyone.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.